So glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us this morning here at Barbie's Grove. We just pray that you're blessed. Whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or out in the parking lot or listening on the internet later in the afternoon, we're so glad that you've chosen that this is a time to seek the Lord, to worship the Lord, to praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day. We could almost be out under the tree in our lawn chairs. It's so pretty, but I'm glad you're in here where you're in the comfortable pews and plenty of lights and everything. Okay. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for every blessing that is ours. We pray now that the Spirit of God would just be in control of all that we do, our singing, our preaching, our studying, our conference, everything, Lord. We want to bring honor and glory to you. For each person that's listening in the sanctuary, each person that's in the parking lot or on the web, Father, I pray that today that the Holy Spirit will meet the special needs that they have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. It's so good to see you all this morning. It's a beautiful day and a wonderful day to be alive. It certainly is. And good to see these smiling faces. And as I said last week, it's certainly good to see people in the pews. And this Pine family we've been teaching and preaching to and singing to has got to give somewhere. And I'm tired of singing to the Pine family. But so it's here and so good to see you this morning. Speaking of singing, let's do a hymn sing this morning. 177 is a book in your book. So there's something about that name. We're going to sing it twice. It's this beautiful, beautiful chorus. And definitely there's something about the name of Jesus. No other name like the name of Jesus. Kathy. As we stand, please. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after you. I love the fellowship. I have some announcements for you this morning, and I wanted to cover those with you. Today we certainly, as you know, we're continuing on with the service on the inside, but also there might be some people on the outside. We're going to continue with that, and the webcast will be available at 12:30 approximate for those who do not want to do it, but would still want to be here in the service, so it'll be webcast. Our quarterly conference will be today right after service, so be ready for that. We've got a lot to cover and a lot to go over, and a lot of catching up to do, right, Jeanette? We got a lot of catching up to do, so there'll be a lot of minutes that you'll hear, and there'll be some things that you'll need to catch up, and then we're going to do some other things too. So stay with us if you can for that, please. We need to let you know that the NC Baptist Children's Home offering, food drive is still in swing here. We're collecting some food here, but also you can send it money. You can give a gift card, food cards for that will be fine. So whatever you decide to do for the NC Children's Spring Food Drive. Jeff wants to meet with the Baptist men down front right after service. So if you would please come down. And are there any other announcements that I have overlooked by any chance that we need to share this morning? All right. I have some prayer requests that I want to share with you at this time. Remember Chris Boone. Now, Chris is you don't know him, but he's a friend of Lee Cross. He has COVID and is in the hospital, and a young man. And so he let's remember Chris Boone. And Frenchie Yao family. Frenchie, as you know, passed away, and we need to remember Cynthia and all the family there, and give them our prayers. And I talked with her yesterday, and so it's keep Cynthia and the family in your prayers. Natalie Cross, that's Lee Cross's daughter. She broke her knees, some bones in her knees, and so she's fractures and playing softball. So we need to keep her in our prayers. Let's remember Brenda Burris. Brenda goes next week for her surgery for her ankles and her knees, so let's remember her. Vivian Austin, I understand Vivian had a fall and has injured her hip and is in the hospital. So let's remember Vivian and keep her in our prayers. Yes, Kenny. She's at home now. Okay, Kenny, good. Well, that's progress, and we'll accept that way, but I'm sure she still needs our prayers. So let's remember Vivian. Shirley Edwards, I understand, is battling arthritis and having some difficult time getting about and being as mobile as she'd like to be, Ricky and Greg, so we'll keep her in our prayers as well. Is there anyone else that you need to remember this morning? Yes. I'm sorry?
Amy Bain, B-A-I-N-E.
Okay.
Most of y'all know Larry Meadows. That's his niece.
Yes. Uh-huh.
She died unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a family then. Okay. Yes, Lionel?
Don Russell family.
I'm sorry?
Don Russell.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mark Tunkett had a bad wreck on his motorcycle. They had to airlift him. CMC Moon yesterday evening. So don't know.
Okay. All right.
Lady I work with.
Yes.
Cindy Moore.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. How has Miss Parker? She's still in a respirator. You say her name, Becky, is that right?
Yeah, Becky.
Yeah, okay. Anyone else? Lionel, I'm going to ask you, if you would please, go to the Lord in prayer for us this morning, please.
Going well, those who are just hurt because we're getting older, Father, we just lift them give us time. Father, that is just something that we're granted. It's a privilege. But thank you for that. Father, I pray for the service. I pray that it will be a time for worship. We'll take all the thoughts we had this week, place them to the side, and focus on you, Father. Now be with us as we continue to worship, continue to sing, and continue to focus. And dear Lord, as we depart this day, I pray that we can go out and serve you.
Thank you, Lionel. I'm going to read these in for you, Wes, so you'll have them for the prayer list. With those we added to them, the floor, Amy Bain, Don Russell family. By the way, that was Amy Bain family. Mark Honeycutt, and we have Cindy Moore, and then Becky Parker. Okay. Thank you all for your prayer requests this morning. All right. Now I think it's time for Kathy to come and share with us. So, Miss Kathy, if you would come. While she's coming, I want to thank her for her service that she has done all through this pandemic. And she and Tonda have pretty much handled the special music for us, and we thank you for that. So, Miss Kathy, come and bless her heart.
Thank you. I hope you don't get tired of hearing me. So when you do, just let me know, and I'll step aside. This song that I'm getting ready to sing, I've sang it before when we had our porch services. It's one of my favorites, and I like to do it a cappella just because it works for me, but I hope you get a blessing out of it. I sing it a lot in my car, especially when I'm facing a lot of stress or things that I need to go with. So,
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine.
Children's Church is now dismissed. Play a little traveling music.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Where?
Down in my heart.
Thank you, Kathy. That's a blessing. Amen. And it is the grace of God that we're saved. Grace of God that we're blessed. God's grace every day is a gift from God. You wake up in the morning, you can get out of bed, it's a gift from God. God's grace. Heaven's God's grace. Love to see those kids. And know they're going to be blessed. You know, there's an old gospel quartet song that's been running through my mind this week for some reason. And I've been teasing Leonard that I wasn't going to tell him what it was, and then I was going to just ask him to get up here and sing it. Because I know he sung it many, many times. First verse starts like this. Troublesome times are here, filling men's heart with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear are at stake. The chorus begins, Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom.
Trumpets will surely sound.
Trumpet will surely sound. Amen. Is it just me? Or do all of you, or many of you, feel the same way I do, that we're in a time of crisis, we're in a time of difficulty, that our world and especially our nation are in a mess? We are in troublesome times. I mean, I know that, probably every man here has a gun or more, and we all use them responsibly, and we hold them carefully and careful about where we aim, but it looks like every troubled soul in the nation that's got a gun or a knife has tried to attack somebody. It's a mess. And then if you are keeping up with the laws, there's some laws that are being proposed that's going to make it really difficult to be a Christian. It's going to make it difficult for you as a believer to practice your faith, for me as a pastor to preach what's in this book. There are troublesome times, and there are freedoms that you and I have and have had all of our lives that are at stake. Now, is it possible to live in peace in a difficult time, a troubled time? You know, we're not the first generation. We're not the first people that have done trouble. Now, Kathy said that she liked to sing that song when she's facing some difficulty or something. And there are certain songs that, now she sings much better than I do, that when I'm alone in my truck, that I sing when I'm in a difficult situation. I want us to look at a passage of scripture, Book of Acts, chapter 27. About a time when Paul was in a difficult situation. And then I want us to look at certain verses that point out some truths in those that we can learn. And they can help us to have peace even in a difficult time. Now let me just give you an overview without reading, verse after verse after verse. You remember, Paul has appealed to Caesar. He's a prisoner. And so there's a detachment of Roman soldiers that are assigned to Paul to get him to Rome. And so they book a boat, and they're going a certain distance. And they get to a certain harbor. And it says the time of shipping is over. In other words, in those days with the ships that they have, they did not travel in the winter when in the bad seasons. They harbored, they just stayed in a harbor, a safe place, until all of the storms were over. And if you remember, Paul told them, don't go, don't leave. They went anyway. And then in just a few hours, they ran into what we would call a northeaster or a hurricane. And for 2 solid weeks, that ship was blown back and forth across the sea. They threw all the grain and other things that were in the hold of the ship overboard. They threw the tackle over the board. They threw everything over the board but each other. And whichever way the wind was blowing, they couldn't control that ship. And it looked like they were all going to die. And Paul has a word for them. Now let's go back and look at some truths that are in that passage. Let's look at first at verses 9 and 10. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Now here the man of God comes to them and says, Folks, it's not good for us to move. We need to stay right where we are. Now the first message or the first truth that we can learn here is this. God often speaks to us and gives us warning. And God tells us to do certain things or not do certain things. If I had wanted to, I could look up in certain books that I've read on numerous occasions where there's a, and one that just pops in my mind right now is that there were two pastors that had been to a convention. And they were about to board a plane to fly back home. One of them said to the other, God just told me not to get on this plane. It's going to crash. The other one says, well, I sort of sense the same thing, but I promised my grandson I'd be home for his birthday party. Well, one got on the plane, the one didn't. The plane crashed. God warned them. God told them, don't get on that plane. You know, unfortunately, there's been a time or two when somebody's come to me down the road a few years and said, you know, God told me not to marry her. Or God told me not to marry him. I know in my heart God told me not to, but I did anyway, and now I'm in a mess. You see, God likes to talk to us. God likes to give us instruction. God likes to protect his children. Every one of you have been guilty of saying to your children, don't play in the street. Don't play with sharp knives. Don't touch that hot burner. Well, does God not love you more than you love your children? Amen. So you see, God likes to speak to us and give us instruction. And when we obey what God says to us, there's blessing. Now, let's look at verses 13 to 15. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Most of the time when we disobey the Lord, we end up in trouble. The Bible is full of incidences where people ended up in trouble with difficulty, with pain, with sorrow, with heartache when they disobeyed the Lord. You can see it in the nation of Israel over and over and over again. When they were following the Lord, they were in a time of blessing. When they turned back from the Lord and began to worship all those idols, they ended up in trouble. They ended up in difficulty. They ended up in pain and oppression. And I think many of the things are happening in our nation today and in our world today because people have turned their back upon the Lord. You know, I won't take the time to do it, but you can read that first chapter of Romans where Paul talks about how God, how people that knew God, knew about God, knew the things of God, and yet they turned away from God. They said, we've got it. We're smarter than God. We'll do it our way. And God just says, okay. Okay. And he turned them over to a reprobate mind and all of the evil and ungodliness that followed. So it is in our nation. When we disobey God, we end up in trouble. Now the third truth here is found in verse 11, which goes between the verses we've just looked. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Hey, Paul's a preacher. What's he know about sailing? They went by another person's expertise. And the truth is here. Often, other people's decisions get us in trouble. You know, if somebody has power or authority over us, it can lead us to problems. I mean, laws can be passed in Albemarle or Raleigh or Washington that affect us, and we're not the ones in power. We're not the ones voting. They're the ones that are in power and in authority. You know, you can have a boss and a business. They can put you in a place of jeopardy. And if you notice in verse 37, how many people did it put in danger? And there were in all in the ship 216 souls. You see, 276 people were in danger because those in authority made the wrong decision. And sometimes other people can get us into trouble by their decisions, and they're in the power. Now look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They just gave up. They said, we're going to drown. Now think about it for a moment. Who's on that boat with Paul? There's some hardened Roman soldiers. There's some men that have stood the test of battle. And they're scared out of their wits. They're seasoned sailors on that ship. Men who had endured battle the storms many, many times. And they are scared out of their wits. It says all hope was lost. Troublesome times had hit those folks. The next truth is this. When you're walking with the Lord in troublesome times, you can be at peace. Let's look at verse 24. Well, let's go with verse 21 to give you some context. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." What do you mean, be of good cheer? We're going to drown. "Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." In other words, the ship's going down, but you're all going to be saved. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe that it, God, that it shall be even as it told me.'" Now, Paul was at peace. They're all shaking and trembling and wondering how many more minutes they had to live. And Paul says, "Be of good cheer, guys. Cheer up." One thing that Paul had going for him was he was in the will of God. God had already said, "Paul, you're going to Rome. You're on your way to Rome." And Paul knew that he was going to Rome, because that was the promise of God. That was the will of God. And you see, in the will of God is safety. You know, in the will of God, you can be in a storm and be safe. And the second thing that Paul had going for him was that he knew his relationship with the Lord. Did you catch that in verse 22 and 23? "Be of good cheer." And then verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Paul said, "My relationship with God is so personal that I have no fear." You remember that Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 wrote, "Cast all your cares on the Lord." Cast all your cares on the Lord. You remember Paul wrote to the Philippians, "In everything give thanks." Everything give thanks. Paul wrote, "Rejoice evermore." Here he's saying to the folks, "Be of good cheer. I'm in a relationship with God." And folks, when you are in a relationship with God that is so special and so precious, His peace can give you peace even in difficult, troublesome times. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't turn down some times to be frightened. You don't turn down some times to be scared. You don't turn down some times to be worried. But if you cast your care on the Lord, where is it? It's on the Lord. Now, I didn't say it was easy. It's something that we work at and we grow at, and we are able to give the Lord more and more. And it's so much better if we just give them all to Him. And if we give our troubles and our cares and our worries and our frets to the Lord, even in the middle of troubled times, we can be at peace. We can be at peace. think I've told this before, but some of you not haven't heard it, and perhaps others won't remember it. But I remember a time when I was really, really having a difficult time. And that's when the Incredible Hulk was big on TV. You know, he's this sort of little guy, mild-mannered, and then all of a sudden he gets upset and he explodes and he's yay big. And I remember I was in my mental praying. There stands Jesus, and I got these big old, bigger than these boxes, big old problems, big old rocks. And I'm picking them up, and I'm staggering over here, and I'm laying them at the feet of Jesus. And I'm naming them off, and here's another one, and I'm picking it up, and I'm staggering it over here and laying it at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus is putting them in a little big old bag. And at a certain point, I'm thinking, well, he's no bigger than I am. How's he going to carry my troubles? And then it's all of a sudden, it's like Jesus exploded like the Incredible Hulk. And he's got a bag of marbles on his back. You know, that looked like about that big. All my troubles were nothing to Jesus. We can cast our cares on Jesus in the middle of troubled times, and we can be at peace. And when we're at peace, we can be a blessing to others. We can be a blessing to others. Now, in these verses we've already read, Paul's words, be of good cheer. My relationship with the Lord has assured me we're all going to be saved. The boat's going to crack up and sink, but we're going to be saved. We're going to be okay. His words were words of encouragement. And folks, when you can have peace when other people don't have peace, your words can encourage them. But not only that, look at verse 33. And when the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat or to eat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not be a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Isn't that amazing? Paul says, guys, you haven't had anything to eat in 14 days. You've been fasting, praying, screaming, calling out to your gods. He said, let's eat. And Paul took bread, he blessed it, almost like communion. Thanked God, brought God into the situation. Paul began to eat. They began to eat. They began to feel better. They were of good cheer. Your actions make all the difference in the world. In a troubled world, when we live at peace, our words can be a blessing. Our actions can be a blessing. We can touch lives and make a difference. And our world needs that. There's no such thing as going through a life without difficulty. And you know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus just real blunt. Verse 15, 18, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you are of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that you in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, where's Jesus? He's inside of you if you're a believer. So you can overcome the world. He's already overcome, and you can be an overcomer because he lives in you. And you see, in a difficult time, we can live at peace. As you've heard it said many times, read the back of the book. We win. We win. We win. Praise the Lord. How's the last verse of that old song go? Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore, free from all care, rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then shall fly, the glory to share. Folks, it's a troubled world, yes. But we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ win. We win. And we can be at peace as we learn to cast our cares upon Him and depend upon the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we can be a positive witness. When people come and say, how can you have so much peace when I'm so anxious and I'm so worried and I'm so fretful? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If there's anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to have just a silent moment of music, give you an opportunity. If you need to come to the altar or make some other decision, would you come as we have this moment of music? Today we just ask for the Lord to bless you and to keep you, to make His face to shine upon you, to be gracious unto you, and to give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Went well.